All righty, Ray Allen, throw that switch, and we are officially into year number 6 of the Buckmaster Show. 5-year anniversary of the program today. It all began back on January 4th in 2011. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, producing and engineering our show. Hope you had a lovely holiday season. And we begin now year number 6 on Buckmaster here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Going to be a very soggy week. At least 3 storms lined up. As they say, they're lined up all the way to Japan. No, not quite that far, but they're out into the Central Pacific. So we've got certainly 7 days of soggy weather here as El Nino starts to kick in. We'll begin with our Monday political face-off with me, commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Then very serendipitous at 12:30 to have the general with us, General John Wickham, former United States Army Chief of Staff, with all that's going on with Saudi Arabia and Iran right now and breaking off diplomatic relations, things getting very tense over there. Our live line number 790-2040, our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince Robigo, a longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in 2010. He's head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his fine group over there at the shop specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. That means Mo makes house calls and will come out and take care of everything, measure everything for you, and get everything hung properly. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, first of all, Happy New Year. Hope it was a very lovely holiday for
Happy
both of
New
you.
Year to you both. Happy lovely, lovely holiday.
Do anything special? Stayed around
just
town?
Quiet.
Quiet.
It was wonderful.
Very good.
We traveled to Texas to see my wife's family, and it was very nice. Spent a good chunk of time over there.
Oh,
so
good.
Very nice.
Yeah,
and we missed all the heavy snows. We were far south enough to avoid all the heavy snows and the tornadoes, and so it was some pretty big tragedies over there. A lot of people were killed in those tornadoes up there in northern Texas, and so we were fortunate in that regard. But so my hearts go out to those people that have lost loved ones over the holidays.
Well, gentlemen, both of you, as I mentioned in the introduction, are former candidates. There was a study that came out, I guess it was a Columbia University researcher said that political yard signs can sway votes. Well, John Munger, I think that's what they were supposed to, that was the intent.
This guy has to be a real rocket scientist. I can't believe this guy gets paid for this. Of course yard signs make a difference. That's why candidates put them up. I was absolutely shocked that this guy thought this was a novelty, and I was shocked that the newspapers printed it. Of course yard signs make a difference. Why do they think candidates spend money on them?
Well,
I thought it was kind of
crazy. Maybe the deal was we didn't know to the extent that they make a difference.
Well, I can tell you that it's common knowledge in the political realms, and Vince will know this, that the reason you want to get bumper stickers on a car is the estimates are that a bumper sticker on a car for a candidate's worth $400 in advertising.
Whoa.
It's a big deal. Marketing the name, there's 2 kinds of marketing, name ID and issue identification, yard signs and bumper stickers. Establish name ID. That means that people become familiar with a name, and a lot of people just vote for a name they've heard.
What do you think, Ben?
I'll take a little more nuanced view. I think John's right. Everything makes a difference. You have to do everything in a campaign, and that includes, the voter outreach. Door to door targeting, phone calling if you can't reach them door to door. you know, mail pieces, and then you have the other forms of advertising, you know, whether it be radio, television. And so the yard signs are a component of an overall campaign. The question is what is the amount of difference? And what was interesting is you know, I read the article about this recent study, and there were some other articles, though, that read the same study, and the headlines were so different. You know, one headline from some newspaper elsewhere said, a study finds yard signs 98.3% useless. Oh. And so it really depends on you know, the perspective you take on this. For example, in the study itself, I actually pulled it up to take a look at it. And they said, the researchers found that since 2006 through 2000, I think it was 12, is when they did their study period, 6 years, I believe, all the congressional races, the issue became really whether or not it was a very hotly contested race where the percentages were so narrow. And what the study found was that really it was only one out of 50 races where the yard signs could be concluded to have made a difference in the election itself. But John's right about the name, particularly I think where this is, you know, has more impact. It has an impact, I think, in down ballot races more so than the big ticket races.
Yes, I agree
races.
With that.
And it all in the, you know, local races, county races, where the name may not be known. And you want that name out there. So however you get it out there, whether it's bumper stickers or the yard signs. The other interesting thing about this study was that, if I read it correctly, and some of the articles about it, was that randomly placed public yard signs in just, you know, on you know, the sidewalk, near the sidewalks, that kind of thing, as opposed to in specific neighborhoods, that those might actually have more impact, a broader impact than those just in your yard, per se.
Well, more people see them.
And that makes sense.
And so, yeah, but, you know, to the extent a lot of races are decided by a couple of percentage points, and you want to get every percentage point you can. And if you can influence voters by 2%, that's a big deal. You know, you have to go into an election knowing that X number of people are going to vote for you because you're a Democrat, and Y number of people are going to vote for you because you're a Republican. So you're really fighting over the difference. The 2% they're talking about is probably 2% of the difference, realistically. You know, if you put up for a Democratic voter, me putting up a Republican yard sign isn't going to do any good. But it's going to influence, to the extent it influences 2% of the voters, those 2% are coming from the undecided. That's a big deal.
Well, and the other thing about it, too, is that, you know, what you have people that want their yard signs. Supporters want to show their support. They want to help and put it out there. And so what you oftentimes see is you'll see the volunteers, whether it's for a particular party, Democratic, Republican, you know, they want to get those supporters actually actively talking to voters. So they, you know, you see a little of tension there and frustration sometimes because they would rather say, well, don't just come in for a yard sign, come in and actually help us contact voters.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear some of the old adages among campaign volunteers and workers saying, you know, yard signs don't vote. Well, that's a true statement, but billboards don't vote.
Yeah.
TV ads don't vote. Mail pieces don't vote.
Yeah.
The reality is everything is all part of an overall plan that needs to be executed, and how much do you spend on all those components, and what's going to give you the most bang for your buck?
That's right. If you pick up 2% here and 2% over there and 3% here and 5% there, it starts to add up.
So, Wall Street Journal, Peggy Noonan, her column Saturday, I think she writes, I think we're seeing the Republicans in a slow-motion breakup of the party, and she points that Mr. Trump being on what she believes is a sure glide to the path to nomination. Will the party establishment begin to bolt, take off?
Well,
Are we going to split the party here?
I disagree with that. I think that most Republicans agree on most of the issues. The dispute within the Republican Party is not about the issues so much as it is the strategy to win the votes. The, quote, establishment people feel that we want to hedge what we really think in order to, quote, broaden the base of the party. The more conservative types believe that, you know, if we would quit being the party of Me Too and just tell it like we think it, that we'd attract a lot of people, that people have actually dropped out of the party because we have refused to tell it like we think it. I think the party is actually doing very well. We've got candidates out there that are really speaking it as they see it, including candidates, not just Trump and Cruz, the non-establishment candidates, but people like Marco Rubio, you know, that are considered establishment candidates, and Chris Christie are telling the story. They may be more acceptable to the establishment because the establishment knows who they are, but the stories are very, very, very similar. I also think that, contrary to most Republicans who are very unhappy with Paul Ryan, there was a story in the papers today that Paul Ryan intends to use the Congress to establish a real conservative agenda this year, and that he's serious about it. I happen to like Paul Ryan, and I think that I think he got stuck with this latest bill that passed because he'd been left no other choice by Boehner. But I think Paul Ryan's going to really make the party work. So I think that we've got a lot of elements coming together to tell the conservative story. And the truth of that, proof of that, I think, is that Donald Trump is head-to-head with Hillary Clinton in the polls.
All right. We're going to pause right here. Vince will be up first to respond to that after we take our first break on this Monday, the first break of the Monday of 2016. Back right after this. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our five-year anniversary edition. This Monday political face-off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger, Vince Robigo with us. And Vince, I said you would be up to the plate first here. We had to take the break, and you didn't get a chance to elaborate on some of your thoughts. Peggy Noonan, the columnist for the Wall Street Journal, believes that we're seeing the breakup of the Republican Party here.
Well, you know, I'm not going to predict any kind of a breakup for anybody's party, much less one that's not my own. John certainly has insights in terms of feeling the pulse or the heartbeat of his party much more so, because that's, you know, his the echo chamber. He talks to them. He's viewing them much more closely than I am. But what I will say, though, is from an outside observer's point of view, there does appear to be a massive internal rife, a fight between the base and what many would describe as either the party leadership or the elite, the major funders of the party. And you saw a little bit of this, I think, also in the last presidential election, where the one who was sort of crowned by the establishment candidate was Romney. And yet early and throughout a lot of the presidential primary, you saw these sort of outsider candidates kept surging and taking the lead. And it was what the base was pushing for. And this is also sort of an offshoot and a part of what has been created with the Republican Tea Party movement. And so there is definitely an intra party war going on that I can see from the outside. What this means overall, does it mean that the base has overtaken what has been in the past the leadership and is slowly taking it on? Maybe so. I mean, you saw a lot of, for example, the last Senate races, last midterm races, you saw a number of Republican establishment types get knocked off. And then by these insurgent sort of new wave Tea Party Republican candidates, but then they lost, you know, like 6 or maybe even 8 Senate seats, they would then lose to the Democrat. And so you had a lot of angst over what happened in the last presidential
election. We won
the
Senate last election.
Yeah, but they lost those particular races I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, but we won overall.
I'm not
disputing
that.
We got a lot of very conservative
senators.
I'm
focusing on those specific races.
Ted Cruz and others.
But John, you're ignoring those specific races where they knocked out those establishment Republicans.
You're
looking at the
individual tree versus the forest.
Well, we're talking about whether or not there's a battle going on.
There is a battle going on.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so then the question was, after the presidential last presidential election, then from all accounts there was a lot of soul searching. How do we do this? How do we win back the presidency? And you know, the funders, a lot of them came to the conclusion that it was the immigration stance, and that they had to focus and change that. But then in a few years that radically changed, and you saw people that had been pushing for, including party leaders, the comprehensive immigration reform. Suddenly they were, you know, it was the third rail and they were jumping away from that, including Marco Rubio, you know, flopped away from that. All these different establishment candidates on the Republican side flopping away from that. But then you see this presidential cycle, and it's been all about the non-establishment candidates. Ben Carson, you know, Carly Fiorina, never even held an elective office. Donald Trump, of course. And then for those that are you know, let's say Cruz, he is obviously in the Senate, so you can't say he's not establishment, but he's also the most anti-establishment elected official out there, because every chance he'd get, he'd be taking on his own party's leadership in Washington, D.C.
Speaking of Ted Cruz, the Washington Post today has an article, who is most likely to win the Republican nomination, and they pick Ted Cruz at the top of the list, then Marco Rubio, then Donald Trump.
Yeah, the Washington Post takes a more scientific approach than Peggy Noonan. Peggy Noonan says, well, looks like Donald Trump's going to win, and she's looking at the overall national polls. The Washington Post article is based on better political science. It's based upon who's going to win individual primaries. If Vince and I were running in that race, we wouldn't be worried about who's winning nationally, who's got more votes nationally. We'd be looking at each state and saying, who can win? Am I going to win the primary in how many states? And there's no question that Ted Cruz has a better ground game than Donald Trump does in most of the Republican primary states. Now, whether that means that Ted Cruz is going to win the overall enough votes to win the Republican primary or to come into the convention with enough votes to be able to carry it in the end, I don't know. But I'm intrigued with the fact that the top candidates on the Republican side are Ted Cruz and Donald Trump in some order, both of whom are non-traditional candidates, both of whom talk about the crony capitalism, the crony elites leading our government, the cabal between the financial centers and Washington, D.C. And I'm interested that the Democrats, Bernie Sanders, is talking about the same thing. And he's doing very, very well within the Democratic ranks for an insurgent. The American public is tired, in other words, of the crony elites running Washington for their own benefit, people who aren't listening to what the public's saying. And it's showing itself in both parties.
I would agree with what John just said, the last part in particular about there is a tremendous dissatisfaction with the amount of power that Wall Street, major corporations, major wealthy individuals even, just an elite sort of control on our country, and people feeling like they're disaffected, and certainly on the Democratic side of the aisle, Bernie Sanders, a major component of his entire message is that we have to reform our country so that it's for the people and not for these elites. You know, we have to focus on jobs and the new economy.
And the only difference between Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz, say, both of whom are talking about that issue, is how to solve that problem. Bernie Sanders has one solution, which I don't agree with, and Ted Cruz has a different solution, which I do agree with, and Donald Trump. But the issue is the same. The public has been completely left out of government, and a government is supposed to serve the people. The people are not here to serve the government, and the problem is that the people are completely disaffected by this insider government that we've got operating. They tell you one thing, they don't do it, they lie, and they lie across both parties. And we're fed up with it. Now, I think that has to end, and I think I'm delighted that there is an insurgency across the political spectrum to change that in this country.
Does that hurt Hillary Clinton?
You know, I don't think so. Okay. And the reason for that is something that John mentioned earlier. Really what it's going to come down to is the individual primaries. And unless some of these primaries can be actually won by Sanders, she has a very, very powerful operation, and the numbers are looking very good for her in most of those areas that are going to propel her. So if she locks down some of those primaries very early on, despite the insurgency, despite the economic populist message that Sanders has been pushing and it's one that's very powerful and much needed to be discussed in our politics. The question is going to be, does this hurt her? Not if she wins those individual primaries and she's looking very strong.
I think that that's true to the extent in the primaries, unless, of course, Hillary gets indicted, which is the black swan out there. But the decision hasn't been made, and she's
but decision by whom?
By
for what?
By the Attorney General, whether she's going to be indicted. We'll see how corrupt the Attorney General's office is. But
there's no criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton.
Yes, there is.
Not her specific. That's not been announced by anybody.
There is, and so
name your source, John.
I'm telling you, there's a criminal investigation by the FBI going on. Well, and that's well known. Yes, into Hillary Clinton.
You're saying that's been announced, that there's a criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton.
I'm saying it's existing, Vince, and you can argue with me or not, but it's
because you can't just say facts. Just because somebody's investigating things doesn't mean that they're investigating Hillary Clinton for an indictment.
Criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton going on. So let me finish my thoughts.
Just throw things in wherever you want.
I think that the point is that this could affect Hillary Clinton in the general election. There is a crossover vote, interestingly, between the Sanders people and the Trump people. And if Sanders people, who are concerned about this crony capitalism, don't have their candidate elected, a number of those people could either not vote for Hillary Clinton or could cross over to a Republican conservative candidate who is talking about crony capitalism.
Okay, gentlemen, we are going to have to leave it right there. Vince?
I was just going to say the same applies. I don't think Trump's voters go to the other Republican candidates, so okay. I don't see that happening.
Thank you, gentlemen. Monday Political Face-Off brought to us by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check out Moe for all of your family needs. Thank you, Moe, for your support. We'll be right back with General John Wickham, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for General Wickham, be interesting to hear what the general has to say about what's going on in the Middle East today. We'll be right back.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
5-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
5-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for an update on El Nino and its impact on the Tucson area this week, plus our Your Med segment with Dr. Ray Woosley, creator of CredibleMeds.org. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and archive at BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, show number one of year number six, our five-year anniversary. Now, behind us in the rearview mirror, very successful 5 years. Thank you to everybody who's made that possible. And one of those people, one of the two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show, is General John Wickham. He is our military and foreign affairs contributor. He was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 79 to 82. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and we are honored to have him with us on the live line. General, how are you?
We're doing fine, Bill, and it's wonderful to be on your fine program. You add so much to the wisdom of residents in Arizona and New Mexico.
Thank you very much, General Wickham. As you know, tensions between Iran and Saudi Arabia intensifying after a beloved sheikh, cleric, a Shiite Muslim known as the voice of free Saudi elections during the Arab Spring protests. He was among 47 people, I believe they used the beheading in Saudi Arabia, executed by the Sunni-led Saudi government on Saturday, and that news of his death sparked a tremendous outcry across the Muslim world. And you've got now Iran and Saudi Arabia breaking relations, Bahrain and Sudan also now severing ties with Iran. So this is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, exactly, Bill, and you've laid it out very serious. Of course, this goes back hundreds of years. The Sunni-Shia split and conflict, not to give a lesson on Islam, but it goes back to who was closest to Muhammad when he died. Was it his wife or was it his son-in-law, Ali? And the first three caliphs came from the clan of the wife. These were Sunni. And it wasn't until Ali became caliph that the Shia began to have some influence. And but that conflict, who is closest, who is the true leader of Islam? And the Muslim world has to solve this problem themselves, and they haven't been able to do it. And we're seeing now another manifestation of it in the split between the two. Now, it's got serious implications for the world, because it could lead to a war in between these two countries. They are rivals. They're rivals for power and the influence in the Middle East, but also rivals in terms of religious dominance of Islam and the Muslim world. 90% of the Muslims in the world are Sunni, Saudi Arabian Sunni, although unfortunately Saudi Arabia is arch-conservative with its Wahhabi ideology, which is the same ideology of the Islamic State, and Saudi Arabia is trying to spread it all over the world, unfortunately, as in a negative influence. So Saudi Arabia is a big problem for peace in the world, but so is Iran. Now, the danger from this split could lead to disrupting the Iranian nuclear deal. As I said, it also could lead to war in the Middle East. I don't see that happening. I think that things will work themselves out in a relatively peaceful way, but it may take some intercession from other powers. I think Russia wants to see peaceful evolution, and I think you're going to see John Kerry involved behind the scenes.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to weigh in on the Saudi-Iran situation. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Jim. Good afternoon, General. You know, one of my concerns is the use of Khuzestan and the Awazi people in Awaz, and the fact that Bahrain Parliament has passed a memorial law that basically recognizes Awaz as Arab now. This is what started the Iraq-Iran War in 1980, and I'm just wondering how much Awaz is going to be used as an excuse to go to war in the Persian Gulf again.
It could be used, Jim, as an excuse, but I think it's a relatively minor issue in the broader issues facing the Middle East. As I said earlier, Iran and Saudi Arabia are at odds on a number of issues, and the Awaz is part of that. You're right. Yemen is another part of it. Saudi Arabia trying to influence developments there. And so it's going to be a very difficult time for us. But one of the real issues we've got to wrestle with in this presidential campaign era we're going into, you've got very many conservatives, and political conservatives in the United States, that are arguing this is the time for the United States to go back into a war with another invasion, that the Obama policies are all failing, and this is proof of it, and we need more boots on the ground and another war and another $1 trillion investment. I think that's ridiculous. We cannot solve these sectarian crises. We should have learned that lesson as we left Vietnam, and we haven't yet.
All right, let's go to Matthew. He's going to change the subject, but it's a very important one about China. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
Yes, General, the Chinese have announced that they will be building a second aircraft carrier using all home technologies, relying on no foreign suppliers, and thus embarking on, their power in Asia. Where are we with the strategy? We had talked about Asia pivoting towards Asia, but we did some minor things. We moved some bombers to some islands just in case. Taiwan is in a situation where they're going through an election, or they just went through an election and they have a whole new political parties that the Chinese are not particularly happy with. Where are we on Asia? Because we seem to get, we forget it's a big world, and we've got to look at the whole world, not just the Middle East, but it's important.
Amen. Very good points, Matthew. You're exactly right. The pivot to Asia continues. It's important for the world. China is our largest trading partner. China's size and its influence on the world is significant. Look at the stock market today because of what happened to the Chinese stock market. It's an illustration of how influential the Chinese can be. Now, you can say the Chinese are flexing the muscles. Nationalism is on the rise in China, and that's not necessarily a bad omen. It may be an indication that China does have a capability to influence events in a positive way in the world. and not just sort of sit on its tail and expect things to happen their way. So we can influence that. We do have good relations with China. You point out about Taiwan. I think we've got to be delicate there. I think sending more weapons to Taiwan, and which we're beginning to do, is not a healthy phenomenon. But the Taiwan election, you pointed out, is moving more towards China, friendly towards China. The trade between the two is enormous. Travel is easy. No visas are necessary. So now we got China messing around in the South China Sea with these islands that they're building, and they put an airliner on one to test the landing capability, and it worked. There's going to be more of that. China claims that as part of their domain, but so does Vietnam, and so do the Philippines. So we're going to have to work our way through that, and I think we have the capability to do it. So long as we can talk and negotiate through diplomacy as opposed to fighting, we're much better off.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. General John Wickham will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. If there was anything in the first segment with General Wickham that you would like to comment on, perhaps you question some of the things the General is saying, he's very wide open to whatever your opinion is. We'd like to hear from you, 790-2040. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It is a beautiful part of the southwestern United States, the southwest corner of New Mexico, which happens to be just about 3 hours east of Tucson, and it's a great place to kind of get away and kick back in historic downtown Silver City, and many great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. The full listing of the several dozen places to stay and the many things to do, the recreate possibilities in Silver City at their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Back with General Wickham at 12:46 right after this.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our five-year anniversary edition with this show. We begin year six of our radio adventure here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. General John Wickham joins us on the first Monday of each month, and General Wickham is with us. General Wickham, I wanted to talk a little bit. We've been talking foreign affairs, but let's bring it home to our veterans. And since 2000, that's over the last 15 years, there are nearly a half million veterans with bad conduct or dishonorable discharges. Now, these veterans are ineligible for any VA benefits. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, Bill. You got the numbers right. Almost a half a million veterans since 2000 with these discharges. Now, there is a procedure available over time where discharges can be upgraded. A dishonorable can be upgraded to regular discharge, and the same with bad conduct discharge. But it takes a little bit of legal help to do that, and unfortunately, veterans don't necessarily know how to do it or how to get that kind of help. But the tragedy is that those young men and women don't have any access to any veterans care whatsoever, no medical care, and it's a travesty. On the other hand, they've been released from service because of really bad behavior, so there is some element of punishment that has to be executed. So you've got to strike the right balance. But my feeling is that we need to move with alacrity to try to begin to upgrade these kinds of discharges and get these young men and women back on the right track.
Well, it's hard enough for a veteran with a honorable discharge to get employers to take a look at his or her skills. And then you can imagine if you have that dishonorable discharge or a misconduct in your record, you're in trouble.
You're right, Bill. And, of course, one of the good news items is in Oro Valley, for example, with thoughtful political leadership of the mayor here and the council that opened up years ago what they call a veteran support initiative to help veterans in Oro Valley find jobs, get discounts in stores, and to get help with Red Cross and help in the VA with a web page, for example, that has gone viral, this web page. It's all over now in other counties of Arizona because of the leadership here. But it takes political leadership to do it. And the mayor himself, for example, has gone around and talked to businesses about opening up their job opportunities for people. But it takes people like that to do it. But you're exactly right. We need to do a better job. I'm not sure that we walk the talk enough in America about taking care of veterans. There's an awful lot of people that thank veterans for their service, and then they turn their head and walk away.
Yeah.
So we need to do a better job.
All right, let's go. Speaking of veteran benefits, Ingrid would like to also address this subject with General John Wickham. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hello, Ingrid.
Hello. Our veterans, at least recently, were not drafted. They volunteered, and, you know, there was always a possibility that their lives could be sacrificed. And dishonorably discharged or not, if they developed health issues while they were in service, they should be taken care of by the rest of us. The benefits, the other benefits, such as, you know, financial benefits, whatever, may should probably stay on the in their record as that they're not eligible for them. But to deprive them of some kind of medical care after they did serve and perhaps even were injured is outrageous. I say leave the dishonorable discharge as it is, that they were dishonorably discharged. They did something not good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that and okay. Hang on and hear what you
have to say. Ingrid, you're excellent. Amen on that. I applaud that 100%. And that may be the way to go. My oldest son is an attorney, and that's his practice, entirely dealing with veterans' affairs. And he's been somewhat successful in getting things like that corrected for veterans, getting them back on the medical care. But you're exactly right, Ingrid. We ought to make a break there at and give these veterans the full medical care that they deserve.
Yeah, because so many things can happen during your service. Well, look what happened with the Vietnam veterans, as you well know, General Wickham, with the Agent Orange situation.
Oh, I'm one of the victims.
That's right.
I have leukemia. Leukemia
yeah.
from Agent Orange, mm-hmm. right?
So, I mean, these things can happen during service, and these are really medical issues that really I think people should cover that as well. In his New Year's address, and I know this is an area you keep very close, going back to international affairs, North Korea's leader said in his New Year address that he'd be willing to talk with South Korea. But at the same time, he warned that the North's military would keep working to develop more, quote, diverse capabilities.
That's true. And, of course, every time the North Korean leaders and the current one talk, and incidentally the current one, Kim Jong-un, is trying to pattern himself after his grandfather, a portly figure, outspoken, so there's a lineage there, and we're going to have to deal with that in the future. It could be dangerous. But the North Koreans, I don't see them ever giving up the nuclear weapons. It's their guarantee of success and security. And it's the one thing that has driven Iran to try to acquire a nuclear weapon, and they may secretly continue to do that, even with a nuclear deal. But the North Koreans are troublesome, no doubt about it. There is some opportunities, however, for continuing talk between the North and the South. And there is a dialogue underway right now in the Kaesong City in the North, where a city built economic activity between the North and the South to try to develop closer relationships so that there can be more economic activity. We need to encourage that and help. And incidentally, related to all of this that might contribute to it has been the settlement on the comfort women, the thousands of women that were pulled into brothels run by the Japanese Army during World War II. That has always been a painful issue with the North Koreans and the South Koreans and Japan and China. But now Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, has said publicly it was unjust, and we apologize for what we've done, and we're going to try to make some modest retribution. It's modest, it's only $8 million, but there's only 56 of these, or 46 of these women that are still alive, but it could lead to a better relationship between all of those countries in Northeast Asia.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to let you go. Hopefully, you've already been out on your bike because the rain the rain is really coming into the Tucson area. General Wickham, thank you so much for your support over our 5 years. And as we get ready here, we're now into year six. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations, Bill. God bless.
General Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, and we usually bring have the general on the first Monday of each month, and of course, it's always good to hear his views on what's going on in a day like this with all the action going on in the Middle East, so it's very serendipitous to have the general on today. Coming up this afternoon, we continue our local talk. We have 4 Tucson at 4, from 4 to 5, with Mr. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen producing that show. Then we get things going with 4 hours of local talk in the morning, 6 to 10 here. First 2 hours, we have Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, The Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a guest host from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey's Talk of the Town from 9 to 10, and then I'll be here at 12:04 with our Tuesday edition tomorrow of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of our producer and engineer, Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. Stay dry.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.